Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. Thank you for staying with us. If you've already been listening, that means you're a highly intelligent individual. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Ken Grombach is our guest. He's back with us after a month or so since he was here, because we're doing a little series on generational marketing, dealing with the demographics out there, the different generations, the generational waves. And Ken's one of the smartest guys I know on this topic. He's the author of Common Census, Counterintuitive Guide to Generational Marketing. He's also the president of KGA Advertising, and he's a longtime member of our Brain Trust and our friend. Ken, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
It's good to have you back. Give us a little review of the last thing that we talked about with regard to generational marketing, and then let's get into some new stuff.
Okay, just to encapsulate, in the United States, the population is roughly 300 million people. There are five generations. There's the under 20 generation called Gen Y, and there are about 80 million people in that generation. It's a huge generation, a huge market.
Comparable to the baby boomer in size.
Well, Jim, it's going to be bigger than the baby boomers before it's done. It'll be 100 million. It'll be 20 million
because
more.
Because they're still making them.
They're still making them.
Yeah.
Okay, between 20 and 40, you have a small group of people. About 65 million the Generation Xers, and then between 40 and 60, you have 80 million boomers, and then everybody else, the silent generation between 60 and 80, and then the generation right after the silent generation is called the GI generation. There's only about 10 million of them left.
The ones that, right, the GIs, they were born in the 20s typically.
Well, they were born 1905 to 1924.
Mm-hmm.
And a marvelous generation, a huge generation, enormously impacted by immigration from Europe.
My parents, part of that generation, and the more I look back on that generation, Ken, the more I know about what they did, knowing about how they came through the Depression and World War II, and how they responded to all of that, and how they lived their lives with such quiet dignity. It's just an amazing, probably the most amazing generation of the history of our country.
I wholeheartedly agree. They were
and throw in how they built the economy back after all that.
The one thing that is said of that generation is they were willing to plant trees that they did not eat of.
Yes, and they knew they would not eat of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No question about it. I admire them beyond, you know, what they can ever know. And I've told my parents that. All right, so now what?
Well, it's one of the things that's a hot topic right now is the immigration issue. There's a lot of debate that's going on over the immigrants that are pouring across our borders.
12 million illegals is estimated now. 12 million. That's quadrupled in just a few years.
Exactly. Why do they come here, Jim?
Well,
I'm going to put you on the spot here.
They're looking for opportunity.
That's right, because there is opportunity.
Yeah.
One thing,
they want us, and they send money back home.
You bet.
It's not. They don't just come here like you know. I mean, I guess some of the immigrants of the early part of the 20th century sent money back home, but mostly a lot of those people completely were so far away, and there was not really that much of a pipeline back. They basically cut ties with the folks at home for the most part. I think. I mean, for one thing, many of them came over as very young people, but the apparently the Latin immigrants are sending lots of money back home.
Well, let me make a prediction here that's kind of sweeping. but it's absolutely true.
It's only you can do, Ken.
The problem with the immigrants pouring across the border from the south is going to end here very soon. It'll probably end completely within the next 10 years, but it will certainly begin to feel the effects of a new phenomena that will be in the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is the only reason that people are pouring across the borders into the United States is because there is opportunity here,
mm-hmm.
and it's because we have not had workers in the low-paying jobs, in the entry-level jobs, owing to the fact that Generation X, now 20 to 40,
right.
was a tiny generation. Generation X is 100% employed, and when they were in their younger years, all of the normal jobs that teenagers do, like, you know, McDonald's and landscaping.
The first job I ever had was flipping a hamburger.
Right. You know what? But no one in Generation X ever flipped hamburgers.
Hold that thought, Ken. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We've got more to come. You're going to want to see where Ken goes with this next comment right after these messages. 20 Till. Stay with us. And you ain't had it. We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Ken Gronbach, our top generational demographer in our brain trust. And we're talking about, right now, Ken, you're talking to us about what's going to be happening over the next few years with regard to Latin America. So you're thinking we don't need to be building a wall. Is that what you're saying?
No, when you build a wall, what you're doing is you're dealing with a symptom. You're not dealing with a cause.
Right.
The reason they're pouring across the border is because there are jobs in the U.S. that are empty. And they wouldn't come here if there weren't jobs. And they're not coming here displacing American workers. They're coming here and taking jobs that American workers are not doing.
And let's point something else out. As brave and courageous as the people were who came from Europe on a boat, they typically expected to arrive here safely. All of them didn't, but most of them did. These people crossing, the folks who are crossing the Mexican border into the southwestern states, many of them are dying, and they know they could very easily die coming across that border. And so there's quite a bit of risk. Why would they do that if there wasn't something better over here than what they have at home?
Exactly. And ironically, what's going to happen, because of the enormous population that we have in the United States, born here, under 20 years old, peaked right now at age 16 years old, that's just now entering the workforce, all of the low-paying jobs are going to be satisfied domestically. And once that happens, there isn't going to be an opportunity for the people coming across the border, at least that border. Where the opportunity is going to be is that in the higher paying jobs between that are currently not being fulfilled
mm-hmm.
by the people who are 20 to 40.
Mm-hmm.
And my prediction is simply that you're going to see more and more and more immigrants, high level immigrants, coming here from Europe and India.
Well, I've got something to say about that, and I will in a second. But you're saying that you're not saying that people will stop coming across the border because there's more opportunity in Mexico than there will be more opportunity in Mexico than there is now. You're saying it'll be because our younger generation, the Y generation, will be taking the jobs that the Latinos have.
Yes, exactly.
I don't see a lot of Brandy and Jason's Americans, little, you know, 16, 17, 18, 19 year olds. I don't see a lot of them laying brick and doing landscape work and doing some of the other work that a lot of the Mexicans are doing.
Well, you will. The skilled positions.
That's the only part of your argument that I see as a kind of a stretch, Ken.
Well, no, but think about it, though. Necessity is often the mother of invention, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, when you have a workforce under 20 years old that is huge, I mean huge, it's going to be bigger than the boomers. It's going to be 100 million people. That's labor that's born here.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do, Jim, and you probably don't eat at McDonald's. I don't know if you do, but go to McDonald's,
sometimes.
Go to Burger King, go to Dunkin' Donuts, go to Taco Bell, and take a look after 3 o'clock in the afternoon during the week, and for the first time in 20 years, you will see high school students.
You're right about that. I agree with you about that part of it. But let's get back to what you were saying about the about, and folks, the whole purpose of Ken telling us these things and talking to us about that, there are two purposes, in my opinion. Who are you going to be marketing to in the next 20 years, in the next 5 years, in the next 24 months? And who are you going to be hiring? What is your workforce going to look like over the next 2 to 20 years? Those are the two issues. To me, Ken, that's where the meat of this topic is for our audience. What do you think?
Right. And if you think about the audience or the market that we are cultivating in the United States that's under 20 years old, that is currently consuming at 5 times the rate their boomer parents did in adjusted dollars, you can realize the opportunity to sell stuff to this market is going to be the biggest and most wonderful challenge to our economy, and will drive and work our economy. And I'll tell you another thing you're going to see, because the unemployment for this particular group under 20 for entry-level positions could be 20 to 30%.
Really?
You're going to see exactly what happened in the 70s with the boomers, and that is they went into business for themselves wholesale.
That's a large reason. That's one of the big reasons why we have the growth in small in entrepreneurship, and it's one of the reasons why, Ken, 7 or 8 years ago, you heard me predict before it was the 21st century. You heard me predict that the 21st century would be the century of the entrepreneur.
We will see an entrepreneur now, Jim, that we have never seen before.
Well, this is a person who, these are people who, unlike me, I grew up thinking I'd work for somebody else the rest of my life when I was younger, because that's what you did, and I've morphed into an entrepreneur. These people are going to come out of the womb thinking entrepreneurially.
They have no choice. Again, necessity is the mother of invention. When you are facing unemployment, when you cannot get a job at McDonald's,
right,
you will go into business for yourself, and you will learn how to lay brick. You will learn how to mow lawns. You will learn how to do all those things.
And even though we have manufacturing, and manufacturing is making a resurgence in the United States, and we will continue to have manufacturing, and look at what's happening. The car companies, I mean, Kia just announced that they're going to build a multi-billion-dollar plant in Atlanta. I mean, there are plenty of manufacturing happening in the United States. But I talked to a plant manager who built a paper plant. And I said, how many employees do you have? He said, 800. He said, 400. He said, I built a plant just like this 10 years ago. It took 800 to run it.
That's right.
400 is the labor force to run the same plant cut in half in 10 years. That's another reason why what you're talking about is going to happen, Ken.
Exactly.
Quick break. When we come back, I'm going to take Ken to task on one thing that he said. You'll find out about what that is right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Well, I was born in a small town.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and my blog. You can find all of that right there. And boy, howdy, are you guys using my blog? Thank you for that. I'm so glad to know that. And the way you're using it, too, is very exciting to me. Ken Grombach is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Ken, we have a 10 to 1 page to visit ratio in our blog. Everybody who visits our blog is going with a 10-to-1 page ratio to visits. That's very exciting to me, because what it's like to produce resources and content for folks. It's very, very exciting and humbling to know that people use it. Your book, Common Census, is one I recommend. Can you tell people how they can get it, please?
They can go on to Amazon.com. It's Common Census with a C, C-E-N-S-U-S.
Right.
And order it right off of Amazon.
A counterintuitive guide to generational marketing. Folks, it's an important one. And you need to know this will help you know where you should be going with your products and services and your strategies, your marketing approaches over the next 24 to 20 months to 20 years. And your website. You want to give us your website?
The website is kgcdirect.com.
kgcdirect.com. All right.
Yes.
Ken, you said a minute ago that before too long, over the next 5 years or so, that more of the opportunity for immigrants is not going to be in the lower paying jobs. It's going to be in the higher paying jobs. And that's I agree with you. I agree with you that there's going to be opportunity there. But what, when I read a friend of mine, another member of our Brain Trust, David Heenan, wrote a book called Flight Capital. And he says that, yes, there will be jobs like that, higher paying, you know, more upscale, higher education requiring jobs in the United States. He said, but whereas in the past, people from India and China and Europe and other parts of the world have come here to get educated and to find opportunity here, and they've stayed here, and the United States has relied on that brain power. We've benefited from that brain power staying here. He said, now two things are going to happen in the future. Number one, there's opportunity back home like never before. And so even if they come here to get educated, they're going to go home. And many of them will never come here because the education opportunities are being becoming comparable in those parts of the world. And he's predicting that the United States is going to have a dearth of that kind of brain power because we're not training our own people in math and engineering. What do you think?
Well, I think we're talking about apples and oranges. And I, because I would agree with what you just said. However, where I see the opportunity for immigration to increase from Europe is in the technical, skilled worker technical field, what we used to call blue collar.
Right.
I spent a fair amount of time in Europe in 2003, looking at the unemployment in Europe, primarily in places like Germany and Poland and France. And because of the education system that they have educated an enormous number of people who are skilled blue-collar labor for which there is no work.
There's no work, right?
There's no work there. So it's simply a case of there's an enormous supply in Europe of exactly the people that we need.
But how do we get those people over here?
Well, again, mother of invention is necessity. We need them here. They exist only in Europe. It's the only place this worker exists. And
would they come over under an H-1B visa, or what would happen?
Yeah, my guess that would be an H-1B or something very, very similar to it. Keep in mind, if you look at the workforce in the United States, 120 million people, you have 55 million people, 20 to 40, and you have 55 million people, 40 to 60, and 45 million people. 20 to 40, and the blue collar labor is currently in the 40 to 60, and it's mm-hmm. retiring.
Yeah.
The Generation Xers, the people that are 40, mm-hmm. the 20 to 40, are not blue collar labor.
They're not
mechanics
for that. They don't have the attitude for it either.
Well, they didn't need to do it. They were more educated than the boomers. So, what mm-hmm. will happen? And this is my prediction. What will happen is you will see an enormous increase. This is if the government allows it, an enormous increase in the amount of skilled blue collar labor
immigrants.
Could flood here from Europe, and that's exactly what we need.
But they're going to have to be some H-1B visa changes because right now there's a lid on those.
That's
going to have to change.
Hey, no,
Ken,
you're right.
I got to wrap it up. Always fascinating. You always bring us some things that really stretch our thinking. We appreciate it very much, and we'll see you next time.
My pleasure.
Ken Grombach, ladies and gentlemen. That's Grombach. His book is called Common Census with a C, and you can find it wherever books are sold, especially Amazon. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.